The regular recommended daily dose of funny is just not enough. Thankfully, we have Extra Funny with TJ and Riggins.
There's something going on this weekend that is huge for the bar industry in Nashville. And I think that outside of like maybe St. Patrick's Day and New Year's Eve, this will be the busiest weekend for bars in Nashville. Probably more so than even they have that country fan fest or whatever they call it. I think this is going to be crazy, crazy busy for the bars. LSU plays Vanderbilt Saturday. And the last time LSU played at Vanderbilt was when Jody took me for a big surprise for my 50th birthday. And it was the year that Joe Burrow and they won the national championship that year, the undefeated season, been called the best college football team in history.
Wow.
That year. And my daughter now lives and works in Nashville. She works for a liquor distributor and she's a sales rep. And she shared with us a little memo that got sent to all of the sales reps from her boss yesterday at the liquor distributing business. It says, just a heads up, LSU will be in town this weekend playing Vandy, and they travel/drink heavy. I would make sure your accounts are stocked and ready to roll. They've been known to drink the stadium dry when they visit. And that is not an exaggeration. This was a late morning start when we were there in the 2019 season. The game, I want to say it was kickoff at 11. Probably 11, and it's central. So it would have been starting at noon on TV in the Eastern. So we got there, and when we got there, there were rumblings around people talking because so many people from LSU, from Louisiana, travel to away games. And a lot of them do it because the home games are too expensive. So it's cheaper for them to load up an RV or something and travel to Nashville and spend the weekend and go to the game rather than just buying an LSU ticket at home.
Which is wild.
Mm-hmm. So there are way more LSU fans at the stadium than Vanderbilt fans, because Vanderbilt wasn't good then. They're good now. They weren't back then. So it was 11 o'clock kickoff. We got there probably 10:15, and the people were talking outside the stadium that all of the bars around the Vanderbilt stadium were already out of liquor at 10:45 in the morning.
I mean, I've never been more proud.
Like if it was a bar within close proximity of the stadium, they were out of alcohol at 10:30. Then before the end of the first quarter, the stadium was out of beer. Cause I think that's all they sell is beer and wine. I don't think they sell liquor drinks in the stadium. I could be wrong, but whatever, they were dry. This guy's not lying. The stadium was out of alcohol. And sometime in the early second quarter, cause I was up watching the game. I wasn't down there waiting in all those long lines to get beer. If people were that, you know, that were with us, they would bring me a beer. It's my birthday. Mm-hmm. So I heard the loudest roar come from underneath the stadium, not from the crowd, because there was not, you know, action at the time on the football field. And I asked later, I said, what is going on down there? And they said that those were the people who were standing there waiting on the reinforcements to come when the beer trucks pulled up with, you know, the restocking the supply, all of those Louisiana people were like, yes!
That is awesome. I mean, I have no affiliation, but I'm so proud to know somebody that does.
I mean,
good people, you know?
I know through the years, y'all have heard me talk ad nauseum about Louisiana people being different and Louisiana being, you know, big party people and all of that stuff. And that LSU fans are different than other colleges and all that. And I'm not just saying that. Yeah. They really are. It's crazy.
They're wild, man. Love it.
Can you imagine what those Vanderbilt people were thinking? The people who work the concession stands at every game, you know, and all of a sudden they look up and the first quarter is halfway done and you're out of alcohol. And like but they love those LSU people. I've talked to, like, I went to the ballpark where they have the College World Series every year, and LSU is always in the College World Series, and they've won it. I think the second most times of any school. But over the past, you know, over the more modern era, they've won it more than anybody. And so those people, there's a bar that is just right there at that ballpark. And it's when they have a Jell-O shot competition every year.
What?
And it's through the College World Series, which fans had the most Jell-O shots. And LSU is always thousands above second place.
Like,
and now granted, I know in the past couple of years, they've had an advantage because the guy that owns Raising Cane's, he's from Baton Rouge, and he'll go in there and he'll just say, I'm buying, you know, however many shots, I buy 1,000 shots now. And then Paul Skeens did that this past year. You know, he's the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, and he went to LSU. But in years prior to that, they still just buying them shot for shot on their own. There was nobody even close to LSU's consumption of just Jell-O shots.
It's because they look at Jell-O shots like, this is a shot. Like, this
is
for high schoolers. Like,
yeah.
I love that.
It's crazy.
Man, I love that.
Again, I don't know whether, you know how Lainey is, my daughter is. I don't know whether she went around and said, yeah, those are my people. Or she was like, oh my God, I don't want to tell them that I'm,
yeah.
You know, I don't want them to think I do that.
I see her going both ways with it. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's an accomplishment.
Oh.
And it means y'all are, you know, like to party and have a good time.
But I was saying that. We went to a Tennessee game one time, and everybody at all of the bars and everything said, we love when LSU comes to town. Y'all are so much fun and y'all spend so much money.
Yeah.
We make so much money in the bars, but y'all are fun and, you know, whatever. But yeah, people love seeing the LSU fans roll into town, especially if they own a bar.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, they keep the community going, you know, financially.
So I'm going to have to ask Lainey if the, you know, it's almost like he's sending out a statement to be prepared for the hurricane.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Like weather advisory.
Yeah, like it's an insurance agency and they're like, make sure your clients can get in touch with you after the storm comes through.
Yeah. But instead it's just like, make sure you got enough booze.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
It's Extra Funny with TJ and Riggins.
Get the latest Extra Funny episode at tjriggins.com, all major podcast platforms, and on YouTube. Thank you for joining us.
In 3, 2, 1.
This is TJ and Riggins. Thank you for being part of the new radio explosion.
Let's do it.
Now, back to TJ and Riggins Extra Funny.
Let me tell you a question that I had to hit Jody with yesterday. I said, hey, I was on the phone. I said, hey, do we have a fax machine?
A fax machine?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know if our printer acted as a, because it used to, you know, fax machine. She goes, no, it's a printer and scanner. It's not. I said, okay. Because I was on the phone with somebody, I need a document, and they said that they would only mail it or fax it. And I didn't want to wait on it to be mailed, but I told them to mail it. But then I got to thinking, surely little friend Jenny has a fax machine.
Yeah.
Don't people still have to have fax machines kind of if they run businesses?
I think you find them, yeah, every once in a while in a business. But yeah, for most people, like just regular families and stuff, the fax machine is kind of hard to see, hard to find.
I actually don't even know if businesses are doing it now, because you can download that app that you take a picture of the document and it faxes it like through email somehow. You know, that's what I do.
Yeah, and they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't scan it and send it. It has to be faxed.
Yeah. Oh my God. What is it? Is it coming from the Oregon Trail? I mean, honestly, that's a crazy way to deliver. Just email me.
Yeah. It's coming from 1993.
It's a valid question. I remember we had one of those and it had the phone on it. Mm-hmm. It had a phone and in the dial pad, and then built onto it, it had like the little printer thing on it. And I think that was just a regular printer too.
Well, and I know like insurances use it because of like doctor's prescriptions. When you're trying to get one, they're like, just, we've sent the fax. I'm like, yeah, because no one uses a fax, just email it. Yeah. Of course I'm not getting it. Like,
well, you think about when that technology first hit, I mean, that was amazing that you could put a piece of paper in a machine and through the phone line, that a copy of that piece of paper would be sent from where you are to where somebody else is, even if they're in a different part of the country.
It's crazy.
And you just stand and it rolls out on that little slick paper and it's like, there it is. It's like, that is insane.
It's still kind of fascinating to me because I'm not familiar with it anymore, you know?
We used to get some of our news service stuff for the morning show on fax. And it would just send out this roll and roll these pages of news and stuff. And it was all in a fax. So you had to take it and then cut it into separate pages. So then you staple it together and you're flipping through those slick pages, trying to find your information that you're talking about and all that. Yeah, it was weird. But I mean, back then that was the thing.
It's the only thing you knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, that wasn't for very long in my career. It started changing pretty quickly. I mean, I'm not that old. but I remember there was the country morning show guy that was at the station right down the hall. He'd go in there and he would get his off, and then he'd just put it on the edge of the table and he'd be talking and usually bitching about something. And the whole time he's ripping that paper on the edge of the desk. We had one of those crunk, one of those things with the big blade on it, like you had at school.
Yeah.
He wouldn't use that. He'd just rip it.
Oh, the paper cutter. Yeah. That, wow. Mm-hmm. So while he's talking, could you hear him ripping it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ooh,
that's not professional.
Yeah. But again, you're just waiting on, your turn to get your stuff coming off the fax machine. And, you know, he was always bitching about something that the owners weren't doing right or whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant he was on the air ripping it.
No.
I gotcha.
He was down there getting his stuff off the fax machine.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
All the latest news in the country music world.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not going to believe what Hank Williams did. Look what just came out the fax machine.
And then what we would have to do is we would have to get the fax off the machine, cut it into separate pages, and then make a copy of all of them so both of us could have, so Ace and I both could have copies of the news. Now, I wanted the copies because the copies were on real paper.
Oh.
Okay.
That was a slicker paper, what came out?
Yeah. And sometimes it would be at the end of the roll and it'd have that long red strip down the paper to tell you it's time to replace it.
Yeah.
You know, like a receipt from an adding machine would do.
So funny.
I know.
You know, an adding machine, kids. The
yeah.
Oh my God. So last night on my other show, you know, I talk about Isaac all the time, and I call him young Isaac because he's 24 and he knows a lot of things that most 24 year olds don't know, you know, about music and things like that, older music. But I was doing this thing on the air a few weeks ago, and I guess I got to tell the whole story. So they have this deal in October called Talktoberfest, and every Saturday and Sunday night you get on live, and then there are two people from the radio station who usually aren't together, and they get on, and then listeners join in and ask questions, and it's just an online banter, like a forum type of thing. And so every week they start talking about who's going to be up that weekend. Well, the guy that does noon to three on the station's name is Pete Callender, and he's really cool. And so they put him and me at the very last episode of Talktoberfest. So I was on there going, milking it, going on and on about it. I don't even know. I don't think they haven't asked me to be on this. So, but from what I understand, everybody else that's doing the Talktoberfest weekends and stuff, they're just the opening act for this big grand finale they have planned for the very last episode of that. I don't know who it's going to be, but all I know is that the talk around the station is that it's just everybody else is there to highlight the grand finale that they're having, which would be Pete and me. And so Lonnie Ray, who screens the calls, said, "Hey, there's a guy who's pretending to be Pete Callender on the phone, and he wants to tell you that you are going to be on the last episode with him." He goes, "I guess Pete announced that on his show or something, and this guy heard it." I was like, "Oh, well, I don't need that. That ruins the joke, you know. I don't need a Pete Callender impersonator, just somebody trying to get on and be funny." I was like, "Leave the funny to me," is what I was saying. So fast forward 2 weeks or so, I had lunch with Pete Callender, and he goes, "By the way, I tried to call into your show the other night and I got screened out. Nobody, they didn't put me through." Oh, and I said, "That was really you?" He goes, "Yeah, it was me. I heard you talking about it. I thought, hey, I could add to that, and we could have fun with making it be like a big finale, like we're, you know, the superstars of the station or whatever." I said, "Lonnie told me that was an impersonator of you, somebody trying to pretend they were you." He goes, "No, it was really me."
That is so funny.
I stayed on hold for like 15 minutes, and then finally he came back and said you weren't taking my call.
Did he just think he wouldn't have called in the actual?
I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. Anyway, I was telling the story on the air last night, and I was telling Isaac about it. And so I said, that has happened to me one other time where somebody called in to be on the show with us, and we thought it was an impersonator. I said, "Isaac, do you know who Rick Dees is?" And he goes, "No, can't say that I do." And I was like, "Oh, okay. So that's how young he is."
Yeah.
Because, you know, Rick Dees was the biggest name in radio outside of Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh. He was right up there with them for a long time, but he retired several years ago. And so, yeah, Isaac wouldn't know who he is.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, he used to have this thing called the American Top 40 Countdown, and then he had the Rick Dees Top 40 Countdown. It was syndicated on all top 40 radio stations in the country." And he's like, "Oh, okay." Yeah. But he didn't know.
Precious little pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you with us, Lindsay, when that happened? And Breeze Cat came in the room and said, "Rick Dees is on the phone and he wants to talk to you guys. He's listening at one of our affiliates." And we ragged on Breeze Cat. So we just like, "Boy, get out of here."
Yeah.
Do you know how many people do a Rick Dees impression? "You guys are so good. Oh, I said, you know how many people do Rick D's impression? He goes, it's really, it sounds exactly like him. And we're like, get, tell it, clown, to get off the, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, laughing at Breeze Cat, like he was just the biggest idiot. Then a few months later, we had Rick D scheduled to be on the air about something. He was like actually going to be an interview. And one of the first things he said was, I tried to call your show. You know, I was in Savannah at a golf tournament and I was listening to your show and, you know, you guys were great. I tried to call in, tell you how much I was enjoying your show, but I got screened out.
My God. Breeze Cat was like, see?
Yeah.
The one time he was probably spot on.
That's amazing.
I never worked with Breeze Cat.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Was that in the, when we were still in the CBS building?
Would that have been Gwen?
Well, it would have been Angie, Madden, Gwen. So there were three of them that worked in that building.
That's crazy.
But maybe it wasn't. I was thinking that it was in the iHeart building, but whatever. It was, you know, we were stupid. And
that's amazing.
And it was the same situation. I didn't even pick up the phone to listen to what the fake Pete Callender was saying, or I would have known it was him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, same with Rick D's probably.
Oh, sure. Sure. We're like, dude, we don't even want to be bothered with that. Somebody trying to think and act like they're funny.
Yeah.
Again, leave the funny to us.
It's Extra Funny with TJ and Riggins.
Get the latest Extra Funny episode at tjriggins.com, all major podcast platforms, and on YouTube. Thank you for joining us.
In 3, 3, 2, 2.
This is TJ and Riggins.
What is new radio? New radio is Yvette. We'll be live more and more throughout 2025.
It keeps me connected to all my friends.
Thank you for being part of the new radio explosion.
This is the TJ and Riggins Show.